The Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning in to our show today and also thanking those who might be listening live via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel applications on their Apple and Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening to this show via podcast on Apple Podcasts, as well as our podcast on thebestoftimesnews.com. We thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to discuss a unique new caregiver's guide and workbook that you will find fascinating. So stay tuned to this show for some very interesting and beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, November the 9th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the November-December issue of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. We thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy at one of our 270 distribution locations, you can always visit our popular website to view our current and past issues. The website, of course, is www.thebestoftimesnews.com. Again, thebestoftimesnews.com. You can view current and past issues. We have over 8 years of issues on our website for you to view, download, and look at all the various informational articles that we have there. In addition, you can listen to previously broadcast radio shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. In addition, you can view the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory that is available for viewing and downloading from our website. In addition, you can learn about upcoming news and events on this particular website. We thank the many thousands who attended the 14th Annual Senior Day Expo at the Louisiana State Fair under the Big Top Tent, located in the front entrance of the State Fair this year. It was on Wednesday, October 30th. We do thank our prime sponsors, WellCare, State Fair Louisiana, of course, the Best of Times. We thank the over 100 businesses, organizations, agencies, and governmental departments for exhibiting and providing valuable information to our many thousands of attendees. We hope that everyone also enjoyed the entertainment provided by our friends at the Spar Choirs, Joni and the Jonatones, and, of course, Richard, our Elvis impersonator. Congratulations to the two winners of our grand door prizes of over $1,000 each. Also, congratulations to our pre-registration winner of a fabulous prize valued over $600. We hope that the winners of the over 250 door prizes were thrilled to win a fabulous gift that was donated by one of our exhibitors. All the exhibitors contributed, and over 250 door prizes were awarded. We hope the attendees really enjoyed learning about products and services and information that they need for themselves as well as their loved ones. Again, thanks again for making it a tremendous success. Each and every month, the Best of Times sends out a TBT newsletter via an e-blast. Over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers located in Caddo and Bossier parishes of Louisiana. It provides them with links to read our current issue, as well as to read our current Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. In addition, there are many more educational articles, discounts, coupons, contests, and of course, news and information about upcoming events that you might be aware of. Join the many thousands who are receiving our free newsletter via their email address. To subscribe, it's free. Just visit our website, thebestoftimesnews.com, and you can subscribe free of charge to receive our newsletter each and every month. Great news, our friends at Ernest Arlene's has brought back the Best of Times special dinner on Thursdays from 4:30 p.m. to closing with fabulous meals at highly discounted price, along with entertainment and, of course, free valet parking. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of this Best of Times Thursday night special to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Hebert's Ten & Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Hebert's Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Caligas, and I thank you for taking time to listen to my radio show today. Joining me on my show is a very special guest. It's Miss Lily Udell Foray, an author and caregiver, and I've asked Miss Lily to come on our radio show today to present her quite unique and comprehensive caregiver's guide. So thank you, Miss Lily, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Well, I'm honored to have you on here, and we're going to really talk about your guide, but tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. My dad was an Episcopal priest, but he didn't have a parish. He was head of the pastoral care department at the big hospital where I grew up. And he brought death and dying into the state of Vermont along with a social worker back in the 70s, taught it at the med school, taught medical ethics at the med school. And he also taught clinical pastoral education, which most religions need four segments of before you can be out with the public and volunteering so that you know what to expect and how to hold yourself together when you're helping someone through a very hard crisis. And so that's what we grew up with, and it's always been second nature to me.
So you were a caregiver as well, correct?
Yes, absolutely. The book is compiled of everything I learned from my father, as well as everything I learned taking care of my aunt remotely, my mom, my dad, and wow, many other people along the way.
Well, I'm really honored that you took the time to write down everything and then put it in a digital format so you could publish this particular workbook and guide, because a lot of people might have all that experience but never think to pass it down to other people, their family members or others. So I compliment you on that. I've been a caregiver myself of my father and my mother, being an only child many years ago. So it was tough. And, we didn't have a lot of guides back then, but luckily I did have some experience being a home health care administrator, and some of my staff there that we ended up, taking care of them at home. But then eventually we had to use private services, and then, of course, moved into the nursing home situation, et cetera. But, also going into hospice, which a lot of people still don't utilize. It's sad. And the end-of-life situation can be a wonderful experience for the loved one as well. So
it absolutely can.
Go ahead.
You hit a nerve, because one of the things that I have seen again and again, and saw it with my own family, 20 years ago or 10 years ago, is the enormous number of doctors who are afraid of treating a person who is dying. They are sworn to help keep them stay alive, help them stay alive at all costs. And unless they've been trained in hospice or palliative care, many of them are very adverse to accepting defeat and understanding that this person's lived a good life and they need to be allowed to have a quiet, loving, peaceful death. So one of the first things I explain to everyone is the moment your loved one has a diagnosis that they are not going to get better, please have a talk with their attending. Get the healthcare power of attorney in there and discuss with your loved one, what do they want at the end of their life? How do they want to exit? And then make sure that they...
That's totally important, because if you wait to the last second or don't even know this, you're going to have to make assumptions, correct?
Correct. And I have seen people that had asked to not be resuscitated get intubated. And then once you're intubated, then this whole big medical domino mess happens because your body was dying anyway. And it becomes a very unpleasant death. And there's no reason for that. There's no reason for anybody to leave without grace and peace and calmness. So change to a palliative care doctor, change to a hospice doctor, if your parent's doctor or your uncle's doctor or your child's doctor is not able to handle the fact that they may be dying, for the best care.
That's true. So, Miss Lily, your caregiver's guide, the book is called Lily's, L-I-L-I apostrophe S, Caregiver's Guide. And it's by Lily Udell Fiore, F-I-O-R-E. It's available on Amazon. And if you want to get a hold of it, I highly recommend it. It is not four pages. It's almost 550 pages of narrative, great narrative, great examples, great scenarios that you've been through. You've probably heard of people going through. When I read all your scenarios, it brought back memories. I said, you know, I'm glad she put that in there, because I had to learn that from trial and error. And did I share that with anybody? I can't remember if I did. But you have some, quick last-minute things to do. And it's very comprehensive. I'm saying this is the most comprehensive caregiver's book guide that I've ever seen. So help everybody out there in the listening audience. If you are currently or are planning in the future, this is a definite guide. It has all the forms that you can easily copy and fill out for your loved one, and you won't have a difficulty in remembering, because that's the important thing. A lot of this documentation about, even remembering what medicines they take. If you don't have it written down, who's their doctor, who's their dentist, if you start having to take them around, et cetera. There's so many little things that you need to be aware of. We're going to talk about some of it in detail. So
one of the things that I want to point out is at the back of the book, there's a QR code, and you can scan that QR code and you have my permission to download that. Has all the different worksheets and health tracking forms and awesome. Everything you need that you fill out, because I don't want somebody to have to buy three books because they have three people they're caring for in their family. That's crazy. That is
so honorable. And guess what? I don't think I saw that after the three times I read that. I didn't notice that. I saw extra note pages at the end and said, oh, that's very nice. If you want to take, extra notes here, but pass along. But I didn't look at the last page. And now I'm looking at it and I said, yes, that is it. Wow. That is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
You have a good index. I will tell everybody.
Yeah.
There's a detailed index. Wow. You cover almost anything that's mentioned about this particular item. It's referenced in there. So
I tried to make it comprehensive. Yeah.
So you worked with people who are caregivers and dealing with multiple situations, right?
Well, I had caregivers for my aunt who was in Chicago, and both my mom and my dad. And it was me and my sibling. We shared responsibility for our parents. But it was on first because I was the one who lived 20 minutes away.
Yeah, and that's generally if there's multiple siblings, et cetera, the closest takes the pull burden. The others hopefully will be able to take some of the burden. The other important thing is a lot of people out there, I was thinking about this today, I read some information about China. The one child is really hurting them now because they only have one person possibly to take care of the mom and dad. In the old days, the family had multiple siblings that they could, you know, share the caring of a parents. But now they either have one or none, because possibly that wonderful child might have passed away by illness or injury. So they're in a dilemma.
Yes.
And I think Japan is in the similar situation, is in a major dilemma. The United States, I still think, you know, we're having a situation where more and more caregivers are taking care of people. So what... What prompted you to write this book? And I'm sure it took you at least a year or so to put all this together.
It did. It took me like a year and a half. Well, as you might imagine, being a preacher's kid, even though I'm 60 years old, I'm incredibly spiritual. And I felt called after everybody died in my family and I had some time off to just process my grief and reset. And my daughter was already off in grad school, and I was done raising kids. And I was like, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I got the message. I had two people the same day tell me about the same end-of-life doula program that the University of Vermont has online. And I live in North Carolina now. I don't live in Vermont anymore. But I was like, okay, two people the same day, the same program. You're tapping me on the shoulder. And I flew through that course. I absolutely loved it. I knew everything because my father had taught me everything. And it just, I'm one of those weird people where, you know, most people, if you talk about death and dying and dementia and caregiving, they run in the opposite direction, but I run towards it.
So that's the important thing. You went towards it. So
I went towards it.
So who was the impetus to tell you to write the book and write the caregiver's guide? What was the impetus?
The impetus was I felt like God was telling me, you know, not to get too religious or anything, but I just felt called.
Yeah, somebody had that divine intervention. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, I just felt like God was calling me. My degree's in English. I certainly have written, you know, things over the years, and it just, and then once I started writing, it just blew out of me. It just was like an epiphany. It just, everything that I had learned started coming back in droves, and it was a wonderful thing. So like, I was like, oh, and I need this sheet, and I need this sheet, and I need this sheet. Because to be a caregiver, like you were saying earlier, you've got to be organized. And the only way I know how to keep everybody organized is to have a 3-ring binder with the tracking sheets, the personal care sheets, the core contacts, and all the you know, the specific information that you need to take care of somebody. And it's quite extensive, like you were saying. And if you have it all at your fingertips and you start keeping track of your loved one's skin or if they're sundowning, or if their vital signs are changing, then you can just bring the binder with you when you go to the doctor's office.
Important.
And show them the information. You don't have to try to remember it, because most caregivers I know are exhausted because they're caring for somebody on top of working, taking care of their family, their own job, you know, and it's hard. It's really hard.
And I was just thinking about it. She talks in this workbook, guidebook, about the stages of caregiving, because initially you may have a sibling, a child take care of a parent, a grandparent, but soon often it's going to possibly get worse. So you're going to have to either hire caregivers to take care of it, or depending on your work schedule, et cetera. So this guide will help you in training a caregiver to take care of your mom or dad, correct?
Yes, I've got worksheets in there on how to hire a caregiving agency,
right,
how to interview caregivers, questions to ask them, because you want to make sure you know, it's great if you have a friend who wants to help and do all that, but I like to keep things professional, because then all the boundaries are clear and they're your employee and not your friend. Of course,
right,
you need to be spelled. You can go to the grocery store, absolutely have your friend come over and watch your parent so that they're not alone. But it's good, because then the company's bonded, they're insured, they've done the background checks, you know, anytime someone has a caregiver coming in the home, I highly recommend you go through, remove all the family jewelry, anything that is pocket, you know.
Any kind of temptation that may be there, been there, done that.
And also any weapons and ammunition that someone may have. Because if your loved one has cognitive issues and they're aware, and if they have a moment where they're aware of their cognitive issues and they don't want to have them, they could easily grab their firearm and you know, commit suicide. So you don't want that either.
No, you don't.
And sometimes people do have very bad, you know, cognitive breakdowns where they get violent. That happens too. So that's another case where you don't want to have something laying around that can result in something that can't be fixed.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Bearstown and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Bearstown and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Thank you for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour, everyone. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Miss Lily Udell Foray, who is an author and caregiver, and I've asked her to come on my show today because she has recently published a very unique and comprehensive caregiver's guide. Again, thank you, Lily, for joining us today. It's a remarkable caregiver guide, everyone. I highly recommend it if you're new into caregiving or you've been doing it for a few years. It's remarkable. It will definitely aid your thought process in getting the information you need about the person, the loved one you're taking care of, and in case things get worse. It also goes step by step in various chapters to help you deal with those situations that are going to possibly happen in the future. So again, thank you, Lily, for taking time to be part of our show today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
So one thing, let's talk. You give a bunch of, she has, I can't remember how many chapters. It's at least,
I think 15
chapters. Again, everyone, this is not a 5-page guide. It's 540 something pages. And she just mentioned, which I was unaware of, she gives you access to all their forms digitally. So you can, this QR code on the back will let you, after you purchase the book, to obtain all these, and you can load them into your computer and you can fill them out on the computer as well as put them in a notebook as well, as she mentioned, which is, I do a lot of notebook thing, Miss Lily. That's my forte for many, many years. I have notebooks for everything in the house. So
yes.
And when I had my parents were taken care of, I had notebooks for each one of them. So it was, and this was back many, many years ago, many years ago.
You were ahead of your time, sir.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You might say that. So one important thing I want you to emphasize, because I'm still seeing locally, nationwide, more and more people are hiring and managing caregivers. And I always tell them to be very careful about doing that. And as you mentioned, we talked about that a little bit before, you know, caregivers do have limitations and they're not as a certified agency. If you're going to get home health, et cetera, they don't have that skill training and authority to do some things at home for your loved one. So be very careful about that, right?
Yes, there's a page in the beginning of the book in the first chapter that goes over what the different credentials allow people to do. So you need someone, I think you have to be an RN. Maybe you can be I think you can be an LPN to give meds, but you can't be a CNA.
Right.
You know.
Certain states are considering making changes, but I don't know of too many right now. But there's supposedly more and more consideration of getting, you know, skilled, get caregivers trained to be doing more. But again, check with your local, because you don't want to have a medical liability issue.
No, you do not.
And the caregiver being sued by someone, maybe not their family. They probably won't sue the caregiver, but the caregiver could sue you, sue the family for definitely falls, trips, giving the wrong medication that caused them to be injured or whatnot. So the other thing I think you did this wonderfully is you need to have a fillable calendar. If you hire your own caregiver, are they going to come in there? Make sure that you have an up-to-date calendar on who's coming, when they're coming, et cetera. I mean, you have wonderful forms about that. A lot of people don't think about that. But you know, what happens if Miss Mary Jones doesn't show up? Who's the backup? In that scenario.
I honestly recommend. I tell people hire 3 to 4 different caregiving agencies the moment you need you need some help. We can't predict COVID. Right. We can't predict the flu. We can't predict family emergencies that they have. And these people are not paid that much. So if it's their family or their job, some of them will choose their family. So they'll leave you in a lurch. So it's not their fault. They don't have any choice. But you need to be able to call up another agency and say, hey, this happened, and they don't have someone they can backfill this time.
Yeah. Most agencies, I think, throughout the United States don't generally have one caregiver. They have multiple caregivers, and hopefully they have enough for a backup. That's a licensed agency. But I'm telling you, there are many, many people throughout the world, throughout the United States and other parts, that hire them privately. And there may be not backup. You may have just Mary, and Mary may be sick that day and take care of family members. She's not going to show up, so who's going to take care of Aunt Jessie or your mother? So that's, you got to always think of that. A lot of people don't
think that. Using an agency.
Well, agencies are definitely the plus. But again, sometimes it's cost prohibited by certain families, and certain families don't want to contribute to that particular factor. But I'm telling you, in her chapter 2, she goes in great detail about hiring and managing caregivers, as well as dealing with nursing agencies, caregiver agencies as well. So I think it's really, really good. Tell our listeners about the chapter, which fascinated me. I've never seen this in any kind of guide for caregiving. It's called Lily's, you even named it, Lily's Sensory Care Method. So explain that to our listeners. That's unique.
Sure. Well, it is unique, and I learned it from my aunt and from my father when I was caring for them. My dad had doctors that were not aggressive enough in the 70s with his glaucoma, and he ended up becoming legally blind. He could see shapes, but he couldn't see things. And so he also had Marfan's disease, which is a connective tissue disorder. So he, at the end of his life, he was not able to feel things by touch very well. He couldn't talk very loud. He had trouble swallowing. And, you know, he was certainly blind. He could taste and he could hear just fine. And one of the funniest things was someone kept, you know, yelling at Dad because they thought because he was blind, he was deaf too. And so one of the brilliant caregivers wrote a big sign that said, Lee is blind. He is not deaf.
Oh.
And put it up at the head of his bed and on the door. So that was really great.
So I
had to figure out how to bring my dad joy and how to bring my aunt who had Parkinson's and Parkinson's dementia joy. And when I moved my aunt to Vermont and I was setting up her room in the nursing home, I said, you know, do you want me to put in a curtain rod and curtains? And she was a big fan of ladybugs. She loved ladybugs. And she said, oh, yes. And I wanted ladybug red Lily. And every time she looked at the red curtains, she got a huge smile on her face. So I decorated, you know, I brought the stuffed ladybugs from her place in Chicago to Vermont. I, you know, put pictures of ladybugs and family members up on her walls. She had stuffed ladybugs she used to sleep with and hug, pillows, the whole thing. And the idea is that you surround your loved one with things that are special to them, that bring them security, that bring them peace, that bring them joy. Because my dad couldn't, you're not allowed to burn incense in a in a nursing home. So, and he missed incense from church, and they used to burn it at home. And because my dad loved high church. And so I found at Barney's Online, this is back in 2012, a huge flask of frankincense room spray.
Oh.
And so I got that for my dad, and I would, you know, make clouds of frankincense because then he felt like he was in church and he was happy. You know, I got him food that he loved, the taste of, and he listened to books on tape back at that time of, you know, C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, and one of his best friends was a dearly beloved Jesuit priest, Henry Nouwen, and Henry wrote dozens of books, and so we would play Henry's books that were read in, you know, by Henry, so my dad could hear his voice even though he was no longer alive. And but the problem is that we don't think about what part of our loved one's five senses still work. So there's, to begin the chapter, you go through the sensory care assessment and ask your loved one if they're verbal, you know, all these different questions. Can you still taste sweet? Can you still taste sour? Can you smell? COVID has made many people's taste buds change. So
definitely,
if you work, and if you're working hard and you make your dad his favorite meal and he doesn't like it, don't take it personally. It could be that he had COVID and things don't taste the same anymore, or smell this, or he can't smell it. So you want to try to figure out what's going on and what brings them joy. When you have a kid and they love Batman or Barbie, what do? You buy them Batman or Barbie towels, PJs, underwear,
right,
bedding. And that way they're thrilled, everything they love, and they get excited to go to bed and excited to wake up. So one of the things I love is that, let's say your loved one has dementia and they're a sports fan. So find on YouTube any of the championship games that they played and put them on a loop, because if they have a short-term memory thing, they're not going to remember they just saw it, and they're going to constantly be happy because their team won.
Oh,
right?
Great idea. Great idea.
But, like that.
But in her section, I'm telling you, it's not one page, but she goes a great evaluation of the loved one. But also, you're going to go into specific sight preferences, smell preferences.
Yeah.
And she gives you, I mean, tons of things about, you know, I love having framed photos of family members around me. That's one of the, I love the shades on my window. I love pretty lampshades. She goes into great detail that you can quiz the loved one or find out what makes them happy and what makes them joy. And not just for sight, but smell. I thought you gave so many examples of smell. I love the smells of, I mean, some of them are pretty remarkable here. And you did put church incense. I'm Greek Orthodox, so we have a lot of incense in our in our services. And
yes,
and
fabulous.
And I would love, you know, when my kids hopefully take care of me, we'll bring some incense to the home, as well as to the nursing home, wherever I might be going to. But you know, that's the smell prep. But she goes on. I mean, there's more specifics of sound preferences. I mean, Gregorian chant. I said, wow, this lady is really. I mean, she goes on to tons of, you know, flamingo dancing, acoustic, Baroque. I mean, there's so many little details that you don't think about. I think one of the most important in the sound, I feel most happiness when I hear these types of sounds. I mean, she said a brook, birds chirping, children laughing, Christmas music, et cetera. So, I mean, that was a very unique that nobody probably thinks. And, of course, the taste preferences that you mentioned, you know, some of us don't like certain tastes, and we hopefully don't bring that food wherever we may be. And this may be greatly helpful when we go, and if we have to go into an institution and, you know, we don't have to remember all these things for our loved one, that we can tell them, you know, they don't like the person doesn't like milkshakes or doesn't like sports drinks, et cetera. So, I mean, that.
Right. One of the things that I joke about was it's important to, even if you think you know everything that your loved one prefers, ask them again. The joke in our family used to be that that if anyone asked my dad's parents, his dad, they'd say, "Hey, Carlton, what do you want in your coffee?" Martha, my grandmother, who'd been his wife for 50 years, would answer for him, "Oh, he'll take two sugars and a cream." But maybe Carlton didn't want two sugars and a cream after 50 years. Oh. Maybe he lost his sweet tooth. So give people an opportunity to change,
right.
You know, because the other thing is, there's always that time in everybody's life where they get a present that they do not like, that does not resonate with them, from someone they love. And so they fake that they like it. And you've got to be careful, because otherwise you'll end up with 300 pink elephants, you know, over a lifetime of someone believing that you love pink elephants.
But
so the same is true with, you know, all these other things. You've got to make sure that they're authentic.
But Lily, let's tell our listeners. I found two sections that were about four pages that could benefit everyone today. Is because you're going to have those loved ones that might be immobile, but they're alert. And she has activities which are remarkable that I never thought about. Some of these activities to do to keep them happy and keep them alert and keep them happy in a way and smiling.
Yeah.
And that's one chapter. Then she has another section, if they're mobile enough but confused, but dementia, Alzheimer's, she has other more different activities that you can provide or help the loved one get involved in. I thought those two were totally remarkable. Totally, totally remarkable.
Thank you.
Okay, hold that thought. My producer says hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bear, Stunning Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bear, Stunning Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today is a special guest, is Miss Lily Udell Fiore. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Fiore,
okay. Author and caregiver, yep. And she's recently published a caregiver's guide, Lily's Caregiver's Guide, available on Amazon. It's a remarkable, comprehensive, and quite unique. I've never seen a caregiver's guide this comprehensive. It's 541 pages, and she also gives you access to all the probably over 100 different forms in here that can be provided to you digitally by QR code. And you can make use of these particular forms for your loved ones now. And hopefully, if you're going to take care of loved ones in the future, you got them there as well. So, again, thank you for joining us today to discuss this particular caregiver's guide that you've developed.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we talked about some of the sections. It would take us, we only got a few more minutes, but I love the section, which I hardly ever see in any kind of caregiver guide, or they mention it one sentence. It's taking care of you, the caregiver, right? That's important.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get burned out, you're going to get exhausted, and you're going to make mistakes, right? You need a little rest.
Absolutely. One of the first things I do when I have a new client is say, are you sleeping? Are you eating healthy meals, not just junk food from a machine at the nursing home or the hospital? Are you keeping up with your own health, your lab work, your mammograms, your colonoscopies? It's very, very important that you do not ignore these things for yourself. And fluids, you've got to keep up your fluids, because if you don't drink enough water, you're going to get sick and you're going to have headaches. I mean, you just can't be dehydrated.
And she has a section which, again, I've never seen before, is my caregiving triggers worksheet. And these are the triggers that can determine that you need to be some respite, you need to have something to take care of yourself. Is that right?
That's right. I really think that when you're a caregiver, you need tools. You need ways to approach things, ways to handle things. And I advise everybody, once they've sort of settled into the caregiving routine, take the caregiving trigger worksheet, figure out what things you don't mind doing or enjoy doing for your loved one, which things you're okay to do, but you don't particularly love them, and which things drive you nuts, right? And then you email the other people in your family or close friends that are on the, you know, team dad, so to speak, and say, these are the things I'm doing that I love. These are the other things I'm doing. And here's a list, the short list of things that I'm having a really hard time doing just myself. If you can help with time or money to pay somebody else to come in and clean the bathroom twice a week, that would be phenomenal. And that way you know exactly what your family and friends are willing to do and what they're not willing to do.
That's right. Excellent idea.
And if they, and do not shame them. We have no idea what transpired in their lives that makes them able to help or not able to help, and it's none of our business. And the last thing you ever want to do is alienate a friend or a family member that you want around later after your loved one does die. So be gentle. Don't criticize your siblings for not helping. There's a reason. You may not agree with it, and that's your privilege, but you cannot, you know, leave the judgment up to God and respect their boundaries.
That's important. So one more thing about that. She even has a section on things you can do to lift your mood. This is the caregiver that needs to take care of herself or himself. I mean, that she goes on for like, interesting, you don't number things. You just a bullet of, which goes on for like, Eight pages. Wow. That's probably over 200. Typical. Great suggestion. Get the best massage in your area, and that's going to help you. Then book a massage to treat yourself periodically. That's going to help you. So, in moving on, one section, which it's tremendously long, but it's important, and you don't have to wait until you're a caregiver of the loved one. You might want to get your mom and dad to fill out these, what she calls core contact and information forms. I thought was remarkable. You've got so much detail in here about the loved one that you're going to be taking care of. I mean, that was pretty awesome. I mean, especially currently as well. But I thought that was good because you need to get that information now. If you don't know what the pharmacy you're going to and your mom's getting dementia, et cetera, you need to know. I mean, you might can see it on the prescription, but if it's already written down, hopefully, you know, who are the various doctors, et cetera. So that, you know, we can go into that for great detail. The other one, the chapter 7, she talks about personal care and worksheets and trackers. And that's, you know, that is really like a care plan. Right?
It is.
And so you want to know what
their routine is, because where if they you have to move them from their home or you have to have someone in the home, the last thing you ever want to do is change someone's routine. You want to keep that steady because that's security for them.
And a lot of people think when they hire a caregiver personally, they can just caregiver, just take care of her, take care of him. You got to be more specific than that. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to sit and watch them and look at them and not do anything that's critically, and they're going to get worse and worse. And back in my home health days, we picked up patients that, you know, were there for months, and the caregivers just, hate to say this, abused them and abused the family member and just took the money and took the money and ran. The other section, everyone, that I thought I have never seen in a caregiver book, I compliment you on this one, because when you travel with a loved one that needs assistance, you need to have a plan. Don't, you know, and she has definitely details about this, and I thought was very good, very needed. Because, you know, you're going to a reunion, you're going, they're going to take them on a trip with everybody. You need to have all these items covered. And she goes into great detail. Miss Lily in her book definitely goes on lots of things, especially if you have to admit them to a hospital in a different area, you're going to have a lot of this medical information and yeah. other items there right there. So you don't have to jot your memory and you didn't know what to tell them. So that's going to save,
right.
going to save a life, or the person won't be as debilitated as possible, can hopefully. So you have a bunch of, I love this one, sticky subjects and logistic tips, which pretty yes. interesting. And, you know, you talk about several topics in there. The legal concerns, I think you emphasize in your guide that you need to get a medical power of attorney, and as well as a financial power of attorney, a living will, et cetera, which yes. hopefully we've been promoting on this radio show for many, many years, and I've had experts on here to do that as well. Hopefully more and more people Excellent. Are getting it. But the problem is some of these particular documents, people have a hard time finding them. So that's the other problem is telling someone where they're at. And I tend to tell individuals, have the talk with your mother or father before they have dementia or particular issues of memory, to remember to tell you this, because they're probably going to forget to tell you. You need to make the actions as well. So anything That's else true, in, too. In closing, that we don't have but a few more minutes here, that you want to emphasize to my listeners out there?
I do. I have lots and lots of nationwide resources on my website, muchlovelily.com. Caregivers, you have lots of time in doctor's offices and ERs when you're getting your loved one evaluated, when you're sitting bedside next to them or watching the soap operas with them, whatever it is. And there's veterans resources, there's dementia resources, there's grief resources. The last chapter of my book is all about grief. The second to last chapter has worksheets on and things to keep in mind immediately after death. One thing I want to make clear that I did not know before is that if your loved one does not want to be revived, so their DNR, and you've got the signed form for that that's been signed by their doctor, if you find them and they're unconscious and you call 911, they legally have to revive your loved one unless you can provide a copy of that signed order that's got the end of life instructions to not resuscitate them. And it's got to be signed by the doctor. I highly recommend getting that form. If you know your loved one does not want to be revived or have CPR, get that form, put it in their fridge or slap it on the front of the fridge and, you know, put a Sharpie thing on it so that if the EMTs come, they can see it easily. Because that way they'll just transport your loved one versus try to save them.
Great, great advice. Again, thank you for joining us today. Again, her book is called Lily's, Lily's Caregiver's Guide. It's available on Amazon. And mention your website again.
MuchLoveLily.com. And Lily's L-I-L-I.
L-I-L-I. So thank you, Ms. Lily, for joining us today. Congratulations on this book. I really highly recommend it to everyone. If you're in the caregiver position now or in the near future, you need to pick up a copy of this. It's remarkable, over 500 pages, including forms. And as she mentioned, all those forms are available digitally for you as well. So again, thank you for joining us today. Best of luck to you in continuing in helping caregivers out there throughout the United States and the world.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my mission.
That's good. Thank you for joining us today. Everyone, please join
thank
us next
you.
Saturday for another Best of Times Radio Hour to learn more information that could benefit you or your loved ones. Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of the current issue of the Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.